This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, motor works, rental works, yeah! The big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
And he joins us at this time each week on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. Thanks a lot. You know, as is the custom in our neck of the woods, we spend a lot of time talking college football, and Bo Nix has already been a point of discussion early in the show today. Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo have kind of a reclamation project. I don't know how much longer he'll play at Auburn. He's played 2 years. One of those didn't count against his eligibility, so he could play a while longer. If you got to the end of his career and said, hey, that was a successful career for Bo Nix, what are some of the things he's got to accomplish to make that a successful career under Harsin and Bobo, do you think?
Well, I think he's caught a break in getting a change, because clearly he was heading toward the finish line under Chad Morris and Gus Malzahn. So I think for Bo Nix, and I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna here today, Ryan, I think this is an opportunity to get with some coaches that maybe can figure out what he does best and try to suit him. I don't think it's a long leash because, you know, with the new coach and, you know, Brian Harsin and Bobo have seen the film, and he clearly regressed last year. I'm still a believer in the guy, though. And I know maybe I'm married to that opening drive or that closing drive against Oregon 2 years ago. That seems like ancient history, but I still believe he's a really good quarterback. And I think with the right guidance, he can be successful.
Yeah, I'm interested in what is happening in the rivalry between Georgia and Florida, Paul. I see Tyson Summers, a guy that I didn't know who he was. Most people didn't. The guy who left with Mel Tucker to go to Colorado. He was a defensive guy with Kirby over at Georgia, went with Mel to Colorado. Now Dan Mullen's reached out and hired this guy as a defensive analyst. You're pretty good at seeing a rivalry brewing under the surface. And I know Georgia and Florida are rivals, but what about Dan Mullen and Kirby Smart? That sort of is a shot across the bow to me, that you're going to hire a defensive analyst that can that basically knows the inner workings in Athens, Georgia. This seems like this is setting up to be in a nice little hot one between Mullen and Smart over the years.
Jim, I don't want to say anything blasphemous a week and a day after Easter Sunday, but Alabama-Auburn is no longer really the driving rivalry, I think, in the Southeastern Conference, because everyone understands the reality of it. Nick Saban is going to, you know, win 92.3% of the games or whatever. And even you guys, I don't want to speak for you because you live there and I don't anymore, but on my program, which, you know, is a more of a SEC-centric show, if I want to just drop some blood into the water and see sharks circling, it's about Georgia or Florida. And it's vicious. And Florida folks love to reminds me of the 80s or the Tuberville run or even the 70s before I got to Alabama. That they love nothing more than to remind Georgia fans they haven't won a national championship in 40 years. It doesn't matter what Kirby Smart has done. So yeah, I think this is a continuum of the SEC's current day great rivalry, and it is vicious. And I mean, there are Georgia fans who in the spirit of talk radio will not even accept they lost last year, because JT Daniel was not the quarterback of record, and nothing that happened before JT took over really matters. So yeah, and Dan Mullen is the modern day Spurrier. We all know that. I'm not sure what Kirby Smart is. You guys need to help me. 5 years into his tenure at Georgia, he wraps himself in the Georgia flag very well. But he doesn't say too much about the other guy.
Rockstar, let's make sure we know where we save this for the CBS telecast right before the cocktail party, where Feinbaum is saying the cocktail party has passed the Iron Bowl. It's the most important rivalry.
But Ryan, you understand. I mean, even the most ardent Auburn fan has almost just waved the white flag when it comes to Saban now. Yeah, Malzahn won 3 times, which is extraordinary. He still got fired, didn't he?
He did, yes. That's true. But, I mean, it is a little bit like look, you lived here a long time, Paul. You know what the Iron Bowl is. But the Alabama-LSU game for so many years had seemed to have more relevance. That's what the cocktail party could become. I mean, I don't know that it's there yet, but it could become that if these two programs can stay there. Almost what Florida-Tennessee was back in the early 90s when Peyton Manning was there.
I will tell you, it was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever we went down to the cocktail party for the first time, I have to be blunt. I mean, I tried to feign enthusiasm for it, but you guys, I mean, we're from the same area of the SEC. That was a foreign occurrence to me. I mean, I watched it every year, late October, early November, because Alabama and Auburn usually did not have a big game that day, but it didn't mean a thing. But after going for 4 or 5 years in a row and just, and listening to Florida and Georgia fans talk like that is the rivalry in the SEC, I mean, I understand it more now. I mean, it took me a long time to wrap my arms around it, but because it's almost like first of all, Florida is a member of the SEC, but it's its own entity in many ways, but it's really the fans, and maybe Mullen has created a little bit. I mean, Spurrier was good at it. I mean, Urban didn't really care about anything other than Urban, but. Dan Mullen understands. He understands the game as well as any coach I've seen since Spurrier. And I know he's a Meyer, Urban Meyer protege, but I swear he's got some D. I want to check his DNA. He's related to Spurrier somehow.
I know you and Nick Saban are very close, but you've had a couple of
dust ups.
Yeah, spats with him over the years. Some caught on camera.
TV only.
Yeah. I mean, Paul shared a boat with him, a dinghy.
Yeah, he did. I got to ask you, though, if you'll think back, what was Coach Saban's reaction to the recruiting rule, the quote-unquote Saban rule they passed back in 2008, 2009, whenever that was? Because I'm reading that this week that could come off the books, that they could free up the head coaches once again to get out and do spring evaluations. If I remember correctly, you guys had discussions about that privately and on your show. What was his reaction to that, and do you think he'd be happy to get back out on the road again?
Yes. I mean, that was back in the day when Nick Saban would literally pick up the phone and call people like the three of us and just chew our ear and act like he was mad at us because we were responsible. But what he really wanted was for media people to go out front and change the rules. I remember I ran into him once at an event, and he immediately walked over to me and said, when are you guys in the media going to change this stupid thing about whatever? It was something similar to that. Because he knew the media talking about it every day would help. In this case, it obviously took much longer than he anticipated, but he's passionate about stuff like that. And Jim, you know that, but you spent a lot of time around him as well. And people in the media that are listening, think that Nick Saban lives in this glass house and doesn't pay attention to stuff like this. He does, because it's critical. And he will use any means possible to enact change. And I remember one time, this was over, remember when he was trying to change the tempo? I think it was back in 14.
The famous is this what we want football to become, quote. Yeah.
And I remember, this is similar to the one in 08. I'd already moved, but I was back in town for something. I don't remember. So I was doing the show from Jocks. And his guy called me, may have been Puritan at the time. And he said, hey, coach needs, he just needs to talk to you for 5 minutes. I said, well, Jeff, I didn't want to sound like I was that important, but I said, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm in the middle of the show. He said, understand. Don't. So, I took, at like 3:30, the phone rang, and at 4:27, I think I got back to the show. Because He didn't care if the show lived or died, I can assure you. But he wanted, I mean, he ranted and raved about this situation. That's how passionate he is about stuff like this, Jim.
Yeah, I remember that day. You played Freebird, I think, and I thought you were just in the bathroom having stomach issues.
We played Freebird, and then we played Stairway to Heaven backwards.
Hey, I got one more before you get out of here. I know Ray Tanner is I don't know if he's a friend of yours, but I know you respect the job he did as a baseball coach and as an AD. He was in a tough situation with Frank Martin. He gave him a contract extension but wiped out the buyout, which seems like a good move. But I'm confused about what's going on with his fan base. They seem to be upset with him because he's trying to keep them from cussing former players, for other teams at baseball games or something. Can you explain to me, is Ray Tanner liked by his own fan base, or is he just liked by the other 13 schools that respect the heck out of him?
People do respect him. What's really interesting is you talk to people in the hierarchy of the SEC, the people that really are the elders of the league, and he is always mentioned in the highest regard because he understands the history of the league and appreciates it. While there are some who think that there's a new breed in town and they don't respect how the SEC got to where it is. I mean, he has made some unusual moves. I don't think he wanted to fire Frank. And what I found on Friday when the story came out, people were reacting to they're treating him terribly. I mean, I think Frank is outsmarted everybody and got a bunch of people to start calling local radio shows to defend him. We should all be so lucky, by the way, to hold on to our jobs after one good year out of the last eight and just not have to worry about a buyout. But as far as I think baseball is Tanner's deal, though, Jim, as you well know. And he won a national championship and nearly won a few more. So he's that's what he's concerned about.
You know, it's funny Jim brought up Ray Tanner because he was trying to have to navigate maybe having to buy out his two major coaches, which was not going to be cheap. And just in the first hour, we were talking about UAB spring game and the Andy Kennedy extension. I'm thinking of our buddy Mark Ingram, the UAB athletics director, who on UAB's budget is having to extend Bill Clark's contract over $1 million now and Andy Kennedy's. I mean, that's a different set of problems. That's because you're winning and your programs, you've made great hires. Your programs are headed in the right direction.
And you got to keep them.
You got to keep them. Everybody's got problems, Paul. Everybody's got a set of problems.
No, they do. And, speaking of Mark Ingram and you look at Greg Byrne, I mean, how many ADs have gotten it as right as those two guys lately? And it is not easy. We talk about it all the time in terms of decisions like Tanner had to make the other day. And I'd like the percentage. I would know the percentages because ADs are whiffing pretty badly overall in college athletics.
Yep. Paul, thank you for the time. Have a great week.
Enjoyed it, guys. See you next week.
All right, take care. Paul Feinbaum is with us each week, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Just look for the big dog on Red Mountain Expressway. And Paul joins us, like all of our guests, on the Mech Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, only 60 calories, try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
Leave a comment or like us on Facebook at WGOX 94.5.